Jeff Cannata is a fucking coward. This is We Have Concerns. Hello, coward.
Hello, Anthony Carboni.
Hello, concerned citizens.
Just recently, speaking of coward, I'm stepping up to the plate here, because just recently, Mr. Carboni, you brought to this here podcast a, I think, stellar installment of our infrequent but much beloved series, Chronicles of a Badass.
I would say far too frequent. And you might be overestimating the amount of love.
Anyway, it got me thinking, and it got our audience thinking. In the Discord, there's been some Chronicles of a Badass
potentials
presented to us. And I have plucked one for your consideration. I think this is pretty darn cool. Chronicles of a Badass. May I present to you Beatrice Flamini. The Great Flamini.
The Great Flamini, everybody. Ba-ba-da-ba.
Beatrice Flamini, a Spaniard, a Spanish extreme athlete who has ventured into outer Spain many times, and just emerged recently from 500 days in a cave by herself.
That's a lot of days in a cave.
It's a lot of days in a cave. She entered the cave.
Did she mean to be in the cave for that long? I find that normally when people are in a cave that long, they did not mean to be.
No, she was not trapped under anything. She was not, there was no bear at the entrance blocking her path.
All right.
She entered the cave of her own accord on November 21st, 2021.
Feels like a mistake, but okay.
She's like, I'll see your COVID lockdowns and raise you a cave. She entered at age 48.
Yeah. And came out older than that, for sure.
She emerged. She spent two birthdays inside the cave, emerged aged 50. She was 70 meters, 230 feet deep inside a cave.
Okay.
And spent 500 days in there with no human contact. Had no other. She was monitored for health. Part of an experiment, scientists monitored her health to make sure she was staying, you know, alive. That was an important part, to stay alive.
Yeah. That's the biggest thing.
But they
go down into a cave alive, you kind of want to come out of a cave alive. I think
that's the goal. That's the general goal, is emerge alive, no matter how many days, really. Even just like half a day, you want to come out alive.
Yeah, that's the best way to come out of a cave, I think. Or some would say the best way to come out of a cave, wait 3 days, resurrected.
Oh, that's a sick way to come out of a cave.
That's probably history's sickest way to come out of a cave.
It's so sick that like bunnies do stuff for you. I almost said Easter bunnies. That would have been that's dumb. I'm dumb. My brain's dumb.
That's so sick that bunnies do stuff for you. What kind of stuff?
You know, hide things.
Go on.
You know, take regular, well-meaning eggs and insert other things inside them. Just because you came out of that cave so awesomely.
Other great ways to come out of a cave, in a flying machine shaped like a bat.
Oh yeah, you're speeding in a car shaped like a bat.
Yeah, mostly bat-shaped things. Great way to come out of a cave.
You know what else is a cool way to come out of a cave? As a worm chasing a giant starship.
Yeah, that's a great way to come out of a cave. It's like, surprise.
Surprise, starship. I was a worm.
I was a worm the whole time. And you asked the starship, do you still love me now that I'm a worm?
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway.
Why Beatrice do?
She wanted to set the world record for most days in a cave.
Why? Why? Like, have you?
I mean, honestly,
like, she was sitting in third grade with the rest of her friends in the school library. They got the Guinness Book of World Records, and they were flipping through it, and they were looking for records to break. Yeah. And they went by, you know, they went by a guy with longest nails and they were like, oh, I could never do that. And they were flipping through and they chose one and she chose living in a cave.
Yeah.
That's
everybody
the one.
Chose, everybody wants to leave their mark on the world, Anthony, you know, and we all have a different ways to do that. We all want to know that we've been here. And if you go into her cave, Beatrice was here is written all over it. Let me tell you.
Beatrice is here. Beatrice is still here. Oh, God. Oh, God. Beatrice is still here. Beatrice has made a mistake. Beatrice did not think this through. All of these things were written on the cave. When you were a kid,
painstakingly, painstakingly carved in the walls
not
of
just
the cave.
Not just in like scratch, like, but in like full calligraphy. Like, she knew she had time. When you were a kid and you were looking through the Guinness Book of World Records.
Yeah.
Or browsing the Guinness Book of World Records site or whatever, however you did it.
Yeah.
What, was there any record that popped out to you where you're like, that's the one, I could beat that or I want to beat that?
That's a phenomenal question. I think I was always enamored with the records that had nothing to do with human accomplishment. You know, the ones that were like tallest man, you know, you know, just happened to be the case, right? You know, person who survived longest fall, you know, or like the
I always want to know. I saw when I was a kid and I said, I'm gonna be the world's tallest man. I'm gonna break that record. I'm gonna work real hard.
Yeah.
I'm still waiting for that growth spurt, that third growth spurt you have in your in middle age.
Yeah. You're they say that's what they call being over the hill, is that you're looking down on the hill now because you are so tall.
Yeah.
You're over the hill.
You're like the sun on Teletubbies.
You hit that growth spurt. No, don't you? I feel like the only things that were in the Guinness Book of World Records when I was a kid were like awful, like the man who ate a bicycle, like that kind of crap, you know?
Yeah. No, I liked stuff like that. Because I like the people that looked and said, the key here isn't to beat someone else's record. The key here is to create a record so specific that no one else has done it. And the odds are that people will not do it again. So things like Rubik's cubes solved on a skateboard, number of Rubik's cubes solved on a skateboard, or like, backwards somersaults while blindfolded, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah. I think there's whole websites now devoted to coming up with world records that are just bizarre and so unique and so specific that you can claim to have been the person that did it, you know?
Jeff, you are in the presence of somebody who holds one of those records. You're talking to Anthony Carboni.
How many bicycles did you eat?
The world record holder for... having a drink spat in his face the most number of times by a date during a candlelight dinner.
How many times?
In 1 minute. Would you like to see the video?
Would I?
It exists on recordsetter.com.
My God.
This was way back in the day when I was living in New York.
I had no idea. How many years have I known you?
That's Dan and Corey, who run Record Setter. They still run it to this day. And they decided that the Guinness Book of World Records was...
You're a wee baby. Look at you.
Yeah.
You look like Harry Potter.
The Guinness Book of World Records is too... It's crooked and it requires money and like all this stuff. Yeah. It's basically a setup. So they were like, we need to create something where people can set their own records.
That woman regurgitated on you.
Yeah,
these
no.
women don't have a sense of urgency that I feel is necessary. Oh, that was a good one.
Now, what you
really
can't
lean into it.
What you can't hear is as every woman sits down, I'm saying something horrible to them,
causing them to react in that way.
Yeah, awkward and terrible, like first date banter that just goes horribly wrong. And I do. I have set this record, Jeff. This is who I am.
I have no idea how many years have I known you, and I didn't realize I was in the presence of a world record holder.
You know, I don't like to brag. I'm not a boastful man, Jeff. But I did set this record. This was set in 2000. Well, the The site says 2011, but I think that's when they redid their site, because at that point I would have been living in San Francisco. So I want to say it was probably in like 2009, 2008, something like that. It was way, way, way back in the day.
And no one has attempted to break it since?
No one's attempted to break it since. And now, but there is somebody who had a similar record. And that's what Record Setter is all about. It's about finding your own record and setting it. It's not about trying to beat somebody else, though you can. And this is a gentleman who...
slapped in the face.
Most slapped in the face in 1 minute. And I believe he did this one after I did mine. I don't know who came first. I believe he did after mine, because like it's a much faster record.
Yeah.
It's more impressive.
I mean, it's...
They're not really slapping him though.
No.
Whereas they were genuinely spitting in my face.
That one lady, it looked like she regurgitated on you.
There was one lady who I remember like took the fullest mouthful of water, and I saw her doing it, and I just like, you can maybe even see it in the video where I do a little bit of a head shake, like, what have I done? And she just like a squirt gun.
Yeah. Like, you know, in Saturday Night Live when they rig up the arms with the hose in it to do the gag with the mouth? That's what it looked like.
Yeah. Yeah. So I understand wanting to set a world record that nobody's set before. I understand trying to like figure out your loophole, but this is not that. Beatrice, there was somebody who already had the record for amount of time spent in a cave. I can't imagine they set it on purpose.
The previous
record holder. And then she decided, this is what I'm going to do with my life. This is the record that I will set. I want to spend over a year, like a year and a half in a cave. Yeah. Why?
Well, with respect.
Respectfully.
The reigning world record holders, according to Guinness World Records, which we've established before, that is a scam.
It is a bit of a scam.
Guinness is a bit of a scam at this point, sadly. But they had the longest time survived trapped underground, awarded to the 33 Chilean and Bolivian miners that we know about. Ron Howard has
shout
has
out to my brother, my film. Brother and me. Like Chilean miners.
69 days, 688 meters underground after the collapse of that copper gold mine.
But that's a different record, because they were trapped.
And honestly, I mean, maybe that's a consolation prize for surviving a horrific and harrowing experience. This lady did this of her own accord. She decided, and her team, she decided that she wanted to do it for two reasons. The first, they get that sick bragging rights, you know?
Oh, you get a little plaque.
You know, when you are
record
sitting
setter
around,
only gives you record setter only gives you a patch. She got a plaque.
Well, when you're at the dinner party,
yeah,
and everybody's like, "Hey, say something interesting about you," you know, or "Here's my friend, Mrs. Flamini." I want you to meet my Spanish friend, Miss Flamini. Interesting tidbit about her. She's celebrated her 48th and her 49th and 50th birthdays in a cave by herself. That's pretty rad.
That's rad. I think it's also burying the lead, but I mean, I guess you're setting her up to tell the whole story. Like you want to
you don't want to steal her thunder.
You want to give her the prestige. But so here's the thing. When you say, "Here's my friend who has something really impressive," do you want to be introduced as the person who chose to live in a hole for 500 days? Like, that's interesting in a dinner party way, but only in a, you are the weirdie of the dinner party. It's not in like a, wow, how fascinating, how interesting your life must be. I think this is the opposite of that. It's like how boring you must live if you were like, well, what I'm going to do, and this is not going to disrupt my shit at all, what I'm going to do is I'm going to head down and I'm going to live in a hole for 500
not
days.
Disrupt my shit at all. This is going to fit right into my established lifestyle.
Yeah. Like, hey, I've got so little going on that I just said, you know what? I'm gonna take a Game Boy. And I'm just going to head down in this hole for 500 days.
No one is going to be inconvenienced by me leaving.
This is not going to fuck anything up at all for anyone.
I'm going to come back out 500 days later and just pick right up where I left off. You know, my first question to Beatrice
she goes into the sandwich shop by her house, and the guy's like, "Oh, Beatrice, you haven't been in a while." That's it.
That was the only disruption.
That's it.
Did you get my email? No, I didn't see that.
All right, I'll resend it. It wasn't important. It was just like a funny thing I saw. It was like an article I thought you might find interesting. About adding more excitement to your life.
My first question to Beatrice is like, what did your spouse say?
I remember.
I'm leaving. I'm going to the cave. Who knows when I'll be back?
Okay.
You know?
Do you want me to do anything while you're gone?
I'm
going
to go into a cave.
Yeah.
I might, on my birthday, I hope to hear from you.
Okay. And I'll just yell into the hole.
Yes.
All right.
If I don't answer, wait till my next birthday.
All right. Hey, can you bring back? No, never mind. It's going to be 500 days. I won't need it by then. Have a good time in the cave. I remember when Mars won. You remember that whole scam?
Yeah.
You remember when Mars One was just taking applicants to be interviewed for Mars One. And I was a science reporter at the time. And I was going to fill out the application just to see if I could get to be part of the interview process and what it was like. My partner at the time started crying. She was like, no, because yeah. I know you're going to do the interview. And if they select you, you're going to go to Mars and I'm going to be alone. You're gonna go to Mars. I know you will. If they offer it to you, you'll take it.
I mean,
and you'll go. Well,
in your defense,
which at the time, maybe I would have been. At the time, I would have been 50-50 on it. Now I'm 0-0. Now I'm 0-100 on it. There's no way you would get me to go to Mars to be one of the first people on Mars. There's no way.
Right.
But back then, I was like, Listen, remember, I was living a fast life of being spit in the face.
Yeah.
I was a different man back then.
All you wanted was to be alone back then. Now you're alone. So.
Now I'm alone. Now I'm living the consequences of my actions.
You've got that Mars life right here on Earth.
Now I've, for whatever reason, I alienated most of the women in New York. I don't know how. And then also,
spitting in the face might have, you know.
Yeah, I don't know. Saying those horrible things to them. Maybe. I don't know. I was just trying. It was part of a record. I think we're all athletes. We all understand. That partner is gone. Who knows why? My dog likes my morning show co-host more than he likes me. It's sort of happened for me, and I can tell you, yeah, I might as well have gone to Mars, but I wouldn't do it because we have better climate control and plumbing here.
Yeah. Marginally.
But yeah, you leave for 500 days and everybody's like, good luck. And like what? Come on.
So I have some details that I think I find delightful.
Yeah.
The first one, the article says that she was monitored, as I mentioned, by scientists. Now, the exact sentence in this article is she was monitored by a group of psychologists, researchers, specialists, in the study of caves.
Okay. That makes sense.
None of them. I mean, they're like, how's she doing? I don't know, but the cave is really holding up.
Yeah. It's a cave. It is still mostly limestone. And that's great.
It's, yeah. Even 300 days later. 300 days in, still limestone, which is a positive for our field.
It turns out caves don't change very much. It takes a very, very, very long time to change a cave. So honestly, I may go get a sandwich and come back in like 427 days and just see how this is going, if that's all right with everybody.
Could you tell the sandwich guy that she's not going to get the email?
Yeah.
But interestingly, all of those experts, though they were reportedly monitoring her, none of them made contact with her. She had no human contact that entire 500-day period.
So how did they monitor her?
I'm assuming that that was, you know, sensors or some kind of, you know, contactless situation she must have had to check in, or, you know, I don't know. It doesn't go into that, but she said she spent her time exercising, drawing, and knitting woolly hats. She has a lot of hats in that cave at this point.
She better start on Etsy.
She got through 60 books, 1,000 liters of water over that time.
Wow.
60 books in 500 days. It's not too shabby.
Not bad. Yeah.
Yeah. And then when she came out, they interviewed her on a Spanish TV station. She said she described her experience as, quote, excellent, unbeatable. And she followed it up with, take that, Charles. I'm just kidding.
And Charles looked up and he was like, oh, right, I'm supposed to pick her up from the cave. All right, I'm going to head down to the cave.
Unbeatable. It was so much better than living with you. I've been silent for a year and a half, not talking to anyone but myself.
Wow.
And she said, I lose my balance. That's why I'm being held. If you allow me to take a shower, I haven't touched water for a year and a half. I'll see you in a little while. Is that okay with you?
Ew, Beatrice. Beatrice. You brought 1,000 liters of water down there and you didn't use any of it for bathing? They could have dropped you more water.
You think she was urinating and defecating? I mean, understanding is you don't shit where you eat, you know?
Yes.
It sounds like she was forced to.
You would have to, I think, keep going further and further into the cave.
Yeah.
And then coming back. Because no matter, like, even if day one, you're like, well, I've decided that when I relieve myself, I'm going to go walk all the way down as far as I can, relieve myself, and then come back. Buddy, that's how far you thought you would go day one.
Yes. Oh, such a good point. You got to go farther than you could possibly think, because at a certain point, you're going to want to push the boundaries of where you've been. And if you're pushing up against, you know, the poop line.
Yeah.
That's a hard stop is what I'm saying. That's a hard stop, the poop line.
It's a hard stop.
The poop doesn't go anywhere.
Doesn't go
for
anywhere.
500 days.
Unless this is like a...
Maybe she was like pooping into bags and then they were taking the bags out while they were giving her food and water.
That could be. It could also be maybe this was a cave that has like water running through it, maybe. No, because she said she hasn't touched water and she would have bathed. Wouldn't you, Beatrice?
Not if you're shitting, Beatrice? In the running water.
I don't know. So she had light. She had light for reading.
Yeah.
She was knitting her woolly hats. She was, man, I can't imagine being bored out of your mind in a cave and not bathing. Even just to spend the 5 minutes to like spend the 5 minutes for time to pass.
Yeah, clearly she had enough water. You're right. Like, if you've got the drinking water, douse your head once or twice, you know?
Hey, Beatrice, soak your head.
Douse your head, Beatrice.
Go soak your head.
You know what? You know what doesn't hold in stink? A woolly hat.
Ugh.
You can make as many woolly hats as you want. You got to douse your head once or twice.
Now, I have seen those ads on Instagram for that very specific kind of wool, where they say you can wear this shirt for like 7 days and not wash it.
Uh-huh,
have you seen that?
No.
That's sort of that traveler's wool or whatever it's called.
I'm not a mathematician, but 7 is less than.
Well, you just knit. I bet you could knit a hat within 7 days if you had nothing else to do.
Just disposable stench hats.
Yeah.
Just stink hats.
Continually, yeah.
That really does track. If that's what she, maybe that's literally her whole strategy down there was just knit a hat, shit in the hat when you're done with it. Knit a hat, put it on your head until it stinks too much, then shit in the hat.
Yeah. Then throw that as far as you can
into the cave. Yeah.
And hope that you can throw line. Farther than you will walk.
They call it the Great Brown Line.
That's what they call it. Now, all right.
She has more. She has more here if you want me to tell
you. Yeah, please, please.
Okay. She also said after about 2 months, now granted she's in there over 18 months.
Yeah.
After 2 months, she said she lost track of time and days. She said, quote, there was a moment when I had to stop counting the days. And she thought she had been in the cave. She, now, remember, was in the cave 500 days. When they brought her out and they asked her, how long do you think you were in there? She said, between 160 and 170 days.
Whoa, Beatrice lost it. Beatrice totally lost it.
She just counted her poop-filled woolly hat pile, and that's the number she got to.
Wow. No, because I would think, at least initially, you would imagine that you were in there longer than you were. I think my brain would start racing. We talked about this when we talked about the quietest, darkest room or whatever. I think my brain would start racing, and I would imagine like 30 seconds would feel like an hour and a half to me. And if I was down there for a week, you would pull me up and I'd be like, I was there for a month. I was there for a month at least.
I think that's probably what it would feel like in the short term, is if you would feel like way longer. But at a certain point, I do think you would lose track. You would just lose track, and you've been here forever. And it's like, well, over 100 days feels, it does. It's all as far back as I can remember. I was just in the dark knitting and reading, you know?
Yeah. And it's, you wouldn't be able to really, if you didn't bring, I mean, the smart thing is not to bring any sort of timekeeping device with you, right? Like you don't want. Right. You don't want like any sort of keeping track of that. So, I mean, you sleep and you don't know how long you're sleeping for, right? I think the only time where I'd really be able to, because my brain does this, we've talked about this. If I'm jogging, which we all know that I hate jogging and I hate it so much.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No matter what I'm doing, if it's listening to a podcast, if I'm on a treadmill and I'm watching a video, no matter what it is, my brain won't stop keeping time. Mm-hmm. And my brain keeps pretty accurate time. It's like, oh, this sucks. I've probably only been jogging for 5 minutes. I've probably only been jogging for 5.5 minutes. I think the only thing, like, and
5 minutes, 32 seconds, 5 minutes, 33 seconds.
It's awful. And when I was doing the couch to 5K thing and I was doing the intervals, my brain would always go interval half a second before the timer would go off.
Yeah.
Like I always knew, no matter how long the intervals got. I think the only thing where I wouldn't be able to keep track of the time would be sleeping. I think reading,
you don't know how long you've slept. Yeah. Right.
I think reading, I generally know how many pages I read in a minute, depending on the size of the book. I think with knitting, I probably would understand because it's a repetitive activity. Right. Like how quickly I could knit a hat or whatever, or knit a certain number of rows. I think my brain would constantly be keeping time and it would suck. I think it would suck. She clearly does not have a similar kind of brain to me, because it would drive me nutty.
But there's no control mechanism, right? There's nothing to compare your experience to. Everything is static and nothing changes.
Yeah.
It's only, like you said, you know, you sleep, you wake, you read a book, but maybe you read that book faster than the last one. There's no, I can imagine sleeping, you know, after 100 days sleeping and waking up, you're like, how many times have I slept? I don't know. Did I sleep during the middle of the day? Did me sleeping mean a day passed, or did I just take a nap?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Did I do an hour? Did I do 16 hours? Am I sleeping more or less than I normally do? Number one, just to pass the time. But number two, because I have less energy because I'm eating less, because I'm in the dark more, like all of that stuff. Man, did she start seeing and hearing stuff?
Yeah, she did describe having auditory hallucinations. She said, quote, "You are silent and the brain makes it up." And again, let's all recall the fact that she came out of there saying this was awesome and unbeatable. This ruled. I've never experienced anything better than this. You guys suck in your constant non-cave living lives.
Yeah. Yeah. There's still the weirdness of that, but go on.
Now, here's a sentence from the article that really, I think, confirms our theory about the Great Brown Line. She says, one of the toughest moments came when there was an invasion of flies inside the cave, leaving her covered.
Oh,
now, what would the flies be drawn to, you think, Anthony?
Hey, Beatrice, you've got 1,000 liters of water and people are willing to drop you more. You're not out of contact with people. They will drop you supplies. They are watching. You didn't bring a washcloth, a clean rag.
Oh man.
An additional change of clothes. Why do you think those flies were all up on you, Beatrice?
Yeah, and
I haven't touched water in 500 days. What are you, rabid?
Quick follow-up, Beatrice. Quick follow-up. When the flies did swarm your disgusting, unwashed body, you thought, I'm going to stick this out?
Objection, editorializing.
Sorry. When the flies did swarm to the scent that you were emitting, no part of you was like, all right, we're done. You thought we were just going to ride this one out? We're going to see this
point.
One through? We're going to keep on trucking?
Yeah.
You know?
Excellent point, life, Jeff.
Cave life is still worth it.
Unbeatable.
Excellent.
Unbeatable, really. There's nothing better. There's nothing better than your perception of time getting stretched and distorted, losing your sense of self, having auditory hallucinations, and being covered in flies. There's nothing better.
Who
else did that? Another guy who lived in a cave for 3 days and then was resurrected.
Yeah. And you know what everybody says about that dude? Unbeatable. Excellent.
That's the number one adjective people use to describe. Look,
I want to know what the team of scientists were thinking when the fly swarm overtook her body.
Did they know? And if so, how did they know? And why didn't they do anything? I know you're not going to be in contact with her. You're not going to have direct contact. But you couldn't, like, 250 days in, send down a note and say, hey, Beatrice, our readings here are pretty stinky. We were looking at the instrument and it's looking gnarly, it says. My dial is in between gnarly and nasty.
Yeah, it's almost all the way to funky. And also, we leaned our ear next to the cave and we hear the screams.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh my gosh. I wonder, like, if they were audio monitoring. Now, they say that they weren't in contact, and that means no direct contact, but that doesn't mean they weren't taking audio data.
Yeah, they could have one, unidirectional contact.
I hope they have a 500-day recording of this lady slowly losing it. Just slowly losing it.
Now on Spotify, the podcast that has been sweeping the nation.
I would listen to it. There was a movie that I watched.
Beatrice Flamini is stuck in a hole.
There was a movie that I watched. It was part of a film festival. It was literally a 16-hour movie. And it was just like basically GoPros set up in a family's home in China on multiple days. And every couple hours was a different day. But it was unedited. They would show you 2 hours unedited every day. And I was like, by the end of it, I was like, I would watch another 800 hours of this. It was just them doing their, like, it was just them doing life stuff. It wasn't even, they didn't even pick particularly exciting parts of their life. I would listen to all 500 days of this woman in a cave. I would leave it on in the background all the time. It would take me a lot of time. If she was down there for 500 days, I would imagine it would take me 1,000 to 1,500 to listen to it the way I listen to podcasts and stuff.
Yeah.
So
you're just on a drive, put it on, listen to Beatrice talk to herself a little bit.
Yeah, just mumble.
Yeah.
Snore. Like knit a hat and just mumble about like the flies. They could at least put out a highlight reel, you know?
Yeah. Give us like a good, a tight 10, you know, like a sick 10 minute, just the best of the best of her freaking the fuck out or, swarming.
I do 10 to 20 hours. I would do 10 to 20 hours of Beatrice easily if they did highlights. So, okay. So they're studying her. The cave experts are, I guess, just there.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They're just there to hang and there was some grant money. But like, what were the psychologists, the researchers, what did they want out of this?
The goal was to study the impact of social isolation and extreme temporary disorientation. They want to find out why times, you know, we skew time when we're in that kind of situation.
Okay.
Social isolation. So not being able to contact any of the humans, what that does. We are social creatures. We know that. Useful information, as you said, for things like space travel, for all sorts of, all sorts of applications her experience could reveal. I think she might not be a typical use case, but still, you know.
Wow.
It feels like, no, she just emerged. So there's no actual results listed in this article.
Right. Now, I am looking at something here. Apparently, when she told The Guardian that she was sleeping when they came down to get her, and she said, already? No way. I hadn't finished my book.
Her 61st book.
Now, she was recording herself with two GoPros, and there is a Spanish production company that is working to turn her experience into a documentary.
Just take all that dark ass footage.
Well, we don't know how dark it was in the cave. We just know that she was alone. True. What if there was a single shaft of light, like where Bane grew up?
Yeah, maybe. It could very well be the fact that they had outfitted that cave with some very tasteful mood lighting.
It could have been a Bane situation, Jeff.
Could have been a Bane situation?
Yeah, where she could constantly look up and see the light.
Yeah.
From where she was.
Oh, the Batman! Batman!
This is... Okay, so they are...
She's a badass. We've decided this, right? Well, she's a badass.
So first of all, here's what I want to say. It's hilarious that they started doing this on her in 2021, when you could have studied anybody for the effects of isolation during the pandemic. And I think that's hilarious. She went down during the pandemic and it's like, hey, we're all alone right now. You don't need to do this, Beatrice. And Beatrice is like, I'm doing it. And the sandwich guy's like, all right.
I just found her. I just found her Instagram, dude.
Yeah.
She's got one photo in the Instagram of her it's all in Spanish. So I have to go through Google Translate, but sure. There's one, she has a headlamp. She's wearing a headlamp. It is dark.
Okay.
She's wearing a headlamp and she's got other illumination there and she's sitting there with a book smiling.
Wow.
But she's an extreme athlete. Like it shows her, rock climbing. There's her Instagram. Yeah, there it is.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, yeah, so it's entirely light. She does have a tent. She could have brought a washcloth.
You'd think that would be on the essentials list. You know how you write up your essentials list before camping, you know?
Yeah.
You're like, going to be gone 500 days. What are the essentials? you know, 61 books.
I mean, but headlamp, listen, it
lots
tracks.
Lots of fucking wool, a shit ton of wool.
This tracks because, like, this post, November 17th, 2021. The next post and most recent on her Instagram 3 days ago. Checks out.
There you go. There you go.
Checks out. Wasn't doing a lot of updating from the cave. That makes sense. So from our perspective, we get studies and data on the effects of isolation and sensory deprivation on the human body. Totally free, gratis. We got that. From her perspective, she does not necessarily get a world record, but could.
Could. Should. I'd say should.
Sure. But, like, I am noticing down here at this, on the bottom of the article that you're using, the Guinness World Records have not confirmed whether there is a record for voluntary time living in a cave.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing, Guinness World Records. If there isn't, then she's said it.
Exactly. This is the problem. You know, the translation of that line is they need a little sweetener, they need to wet their beak.
Because here's what Guinness is going to say, you need to have a Guinness person on site.
Yeah.
Checking at least once a day over the 500 days to make sure that she's still down there, that she hasn't done anything, that nothing untoward happened. You can't just take the word of scientists and researchers collecting data. You need somebody in a yellow jacket that's going to look and make sure everything's cool.
Right.
If she doesn't get this record,
We riot.
But also, Beatrice, if they don't give you this record, call my friends at Record Setter. They'll give you a patch.
Yeah. Sick patch.
They'll give you a sick patch, dude.
You can put it right on a woolly hat.
You could. So, okay. So you're asking now, based on this, do I think she's a badass?
Yes.
I mean, and I do keep coming back to this. There always is, in these stories that you bring for Chronicles of a Badass, a line of just stupidity.
Yes.
Versus bravery, because I think the two are potentially intertwined in a lot of situations.
Well, you have to move past the limits of stupidity to get to bravery. Or maybe you have to move past the limits of bravery to get to stupidity. Either way, super
it's
badass.
It's an Ouroboros.
It is. It's eating its own stupid ass tail.
Yeah. And it's like, hey, snake. Don't do that. That's your own tail. And the snake is brave. Like, what?
So brave, though.
The snake is like, huh? Why is dinner hurt? Says snake. It's dumb. It's so dumb. But is it badass?
I think it's badass. I think it's so badass. Nobody's done that. How hard would it be? That's no one could do that.
I'm torn.
She's amazing.
I'm so torn.
She's
but
the Great Flamini.
I think I'll give it to you. I think I'll give
you
the Great Flamini.
Thank you. Here's my next question.
Yeah.
500 days. She came out as of we're recording. She came out 3 days ago. What over the last 500 days do you think you would miss most or would be the biggest shock when you came out?
I mean, what would I miss? I mean, I've got a dog.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I've got a dog. Like, I'm just going to go down into a hole for 500 days and be like, all right, bud, this is a large majority of your life.
Yeah.
Not a majority, but this is a large portion of your life. Vaya con Dios. I think I'd miss that. I think I would miss, I mean, you know me, I like a little treat. I like to go out every day and get myself a little treat.
Yeah.
I've been sipping my fancy boy matcha latte the whole time we've been doing this podcast. Here's the thing, Jeff. I'm a delicate man.
You're a little flower. You're not a cave flower. You're like, you need to be out in the sunshine.
No, I'm a French Duke eating soft cheeses. You know what I mean? Like I'm laying in a hammock. I'm being fanned with palm fronds. I'm not built for anything that isn't climate controlled. And then above and beyond that, Jeff, I got the ADHD brain.
Mm. Yeah.
And I need a little treat.
You would come out and you'd be like, man, I had 61 books that I kept meaning to read.
Oh, there's like somehow I got an IKEA desk down there that I never put together.
What did you do for 500 days?
I kept meaning to start stuff. I just, there wasn't enough time.
I kept getting distracted, you know, by the cave.
I was trying to think of the best way to get started. And I don't know. You interrupted me right when I almost had it. And I think you interrupted me. And I'm very mad at you now. I'm very mad at you.
Let me paint you another scene.
Yeah. What would you miss?
Well, this is what I'm about to illustrate.
Your family.
No. I'm not going to talk about what I'd miss, but I think the shock of coming out 500 days later. So imagine you emerge from the cave.
Yeah.
Paparazzi taking photos for the USA Today to tell about your incredible accomplishment.
You're stinky. You're covered in flies.
You are. And someone walks up to you and goes, Anthony, 500 days. You've been in the cave. I need to tell you something. Will Smith slapped Chris Rock at the Oscars.
And then I would get back on my little rope and I'd go right back down into the hole and I'd start building that IKEA desk. I'd just be like nope.
What has happened to the world? It would be like that Charlton Heston looking at the half buried Statue of Liberty going, what happened?
You maniacs. gosh. Yeah. What would be the biggest, I mean, look, to come out after 500 days and be like, look, most people are vaccinated now. there's some wackadoos who just refuse to do it, but you're mostly safe. I'd be like, all right. Okay. 500 days was enough. Good, good, good.
Yeah.
I don't know. Other things that I would have missed. I'm trying to think of in the last year and a half. Oh, Jeff, you'd be the last person in the world to see everything everywhere all at once.
Oh, that's no good.
Can you imagine being the last person on Earth to see RRR?
No, that would be terrible.
That would actually be terrible. This is how you know we're not built for this. And she is. Because I bet she came out and they're like, oh my God, Michelle Yeoh was just unbelievable and everything everywhere all at once. And she's like, who's Michelle Yeoh? And you're like, get back in the cave. You get back in the cave.
Were you in there for 500 days or 50 years?
Get out of here.
You.
Grogu's got a robot suit now. And she's like, what? Get back in the hole. They remade Resident Evil 4, and it's worth playing.
Huh?
And she's like, they didn't need to remake that one. That was the first modern feeling one. No, I know, but trust me, it's actually worth playing.
She came out and she was like, did I miss the last season of Succession? Like, no, you're safe. You're fine. It's cool. It's You only missed like three episodes.
Here comes the spoiler. Good, We're going to say it on the podcast. No, we're not.
No, we're not.
This shows that we are too frivolous and connected to the world to do what she has just done. And I think that in and of itself does show that she's a bit of a badass, even though I do feel like she's also choosing not to participate in her own life in a lot of ways. I do get that vibe.
There's definitely issues. Yeah.
But
issues that a cave expert is unqualified to deal with.
Yeah, that's why I went and got the sandwich. He was like, I got nothing. I can't do anything here. But I also think the fact that she invited the researchers and got us usable data out of it, which most of these people don't. Most of these badasses are just like, I don't know. I attached myself to the world's largest rubber band just to see if it would break my face. And it's like, okay.
Yeah.
That's not, we didn't really get anything out of that, but this we got something out of. So that's important.
Intentional, focused, measured. And you know what? As you were saying, we couldn't do it.
No.
Because let me tell you, Anthony, we're too shallow to go that deep.
I don't know why you would want to after that, but you can support us on Patreon, patreon.com/wehaveconcerns. If you do, you get all kinds of, like, you get extra audio. It'll probably be filled with terrible puns.
Yeah, that's our guarantee to you.
That's our guarantee to you. We also get bonus video and stuff. Go check it out. The best thing and the easiest thing is if you give a dollar, you get access to our Discord where everybody's hanging out and talking, and they're talking without you, and they're talking about you.
Yeah, you got to get in on that. You got to see what they're saying about you.
Yeah.
Also, big thanks to Dire Nair, who submitted this story on that very Discord.
They're all submitting stories without you.
Yeah, there's so many stories without you. There's only so many stories that we cover. There's lots of other interesting stories that right there in the Science News channel on our Discord, and it only costs $1 a month to see it. It's next to nothing. It's if you look at nothing and then you look right next to it.
Yeah.
That's what it costs.
You got to kind of relax your eyes a little bit. It's like one of those 3D posters.
Yeah, exactly.
Comes kids ask focus. Your parents.
You got to relax your wallet is what you got to do. Okay. Also, if you go a little higher in value, you get more value. You get more stuff. You get bonus episodes. You get videos. Did you already say all this?
I said it, but I didn't directly connect it to the amount of money people are giving. And I think that's important. Right. Give us more money. Patreon.com/wehaveconcerns.